Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hello, my little cheese and onion, Chris. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Liverpool gubbed Everton, Leicester won again, and Chelsea were back to winning ways. Welcome, one and all. My name is Marcus Speller. That guy's Pete Donaldson, and he's Jim Campbell.
I've noticed recently, Marcus, that you've stopped reading those intros off your little iPad, your little off-brand iPad, and you've just been doing them off the top of the old DP, as Luke used to call it.
I used to do that. It was all a ruse.
Very impressive. It's all a ruse.
Very impressive to remember a line or two.
It is very impressive for a person who can't. I'm genuinely impressed when people can remember lines.
I actually didn't remember. I just thought it off the top of my head, mate.
Even better, isn't it?
Mate.
Yeah,
exactly.
Showing off.
This
now
is the kind of stuff the listeners need to hear.
Jazz Speller.
Me just remembering three results that happened last night. In fact, it wasn't even results. It was just winners. Liverpool were one of those winners. Big win. Big vibe.
Why are you mentioning Liverpool when we're going to go into another match?
Because they played Everton. Because we do what we want now,
there
Bradley,
we go,
don't
okay
we? The Toffee men were battered 5-2.
They absolutely were that.
Yes. Oh, my God. 32 league games unbeaten for Liverpool.
It's all right, isn't it? I mean,
it is absolutely
no, that's not bad,
stuff,
I suppose.
It was reminiscent of that time when Brendy Rodgers' Liverpool thrashed Everton by a 4-goal margin, although obviously it was only 3 goals last night. Could have been more, though.
It was an exciting match where Everton at points could have gone back into it, I thought.
Yeah, well, they flirted with the idea of coming back into it, didn't they?
Well, Silver sort of went, right, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down 4-4-2.
Yeah. It was a bit of a masterclass from Liverpool in the first half, wasn't it, in particular? And some of the passes on display.
Mane.
The pass from Sadio Mane for Origi, who seems to be like just held back for Everton and the Champions League. It's really strange. What a luxury to have. This player who's brilliant in derbies and in the Champions League. Do you want him?
But I think this is what Liverpool didn't have 2 seasons ago. That kind of squad that you can rotate and go, oh, we plan for the other team.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just like Lallana coming off the bench. You're like, well, we can kind of deal with him.
Yeah. Bournemouth are thinking, what are you planning for us? Why are you waiting for us? They got them on the weekend. But Klopp said it was one of the most pleasing things in management when you can use other squad players who don't necessarily always start. And a couple of Liverpool supporting friends of mine, one of whom I watched the game with, was saying, "Oh, Klopp's fielding a weak inside. Like I'm a bit concerned." And I said, "Well, hang on. Adrian's in goal because Alisson's suspended, so that can happen. You've got Van Dijk and Lovren in at the centre of defence. Alexander Arnold Robinson, who left and right back. Wijnaldum, Milner, and was it Lallana in the centre of the pitch?" Shaqiri and Mane either side of Origi. I mean, it's not that weakened, is it? I mean, Firmino and Salah. And that's the thing at Liverpool at the moment. They have such a good squad.
Yeah.
And as you say, Origi comes in, the guy who scored the second goal in the Champions League final, lest we forget. And by the way, you can easily forget that the Liverpool 4-0 result was without one or two of these key players. Salah didn't, I forget now who missed out, but obviously Origi started.
Yeah.
And I think Shaqiri did as well. They both come into the side and they both score lovely goals. And as you say, Mane with with a kind of pass where it's almost like he's got a remote control for the ball.
Yeah,
it
absolutely
was
incredible.
Absolutely perfect. And I agreed actually, with Big Super Ali on the comms, Amazon comms, when he said it was probably the pass of the season.
Yeah, I would agree. But also, that implies that he put it on a plate for Origi, which he hadn't. Origi still had a lot to do, but he did it very, very well.
It was a love. Opening your body like that.
Well, when you say he has a lot to do, of course, nothing gets taken away from the striker. But what Manny has done there has enticed Pickford. Yeah. And so actually what he's done is... He played it so well that it was all set up.
He's given Origi a map, isn't he?
Exactly, yeah. And if Andy Gray was still on commentary, he would have told us what Mane was thinking in his head. He said, "Go on, son. There you go. All you got to do is beat the keeper. Go and score. Put us 1-0 up.
Yeah. See you in the bar afterwards. Mine's a pint, obviously. Gonna go to the bathroom now. See you in a bit. How's the wife?"
Nice soap dispenser's not working.
Yeah, so it's so nice that we don't have that anymore. But we do have Amazon.
We do.
Among us
what's everyone's thoughts?
Well, it's clearly the future. This is how it's all going to pan out.
It did feel like a game changer, didn't it?
Felt bloody brilliant, though, didn't it? Switchy.
Yeah,
a little switchy.
Yeah, although mine fell over when I tried to go back after the Man United Spurs game over to Everton Liverpool.
Let me talk about your specs. What were you rocking on your rig?
I used the PS4, which is pretty much invincible. Right, okay. So I've never really had problems with it before.
Did you update the Amazon app?
What do you think? PS4?
Sometimes the patch releases, they're a little bit later on the console generation, so maybe stick your laptop in or your iPad for now.
I thought it was nice to have
a smart TV.
Champion and Koisty back together.
Yeah, that was a very... They've done a lot of crowd-pleasing things, haven't they, Amazon? And actually, I think what was quite smart is they haven't announced it with this big fanfare. Mm. They've tried to just go, look, this is football pretty much as you know it.
Yeah.
We're part of the furniture. Well, not, you know everyone here. You've seen them on other channels.
I mean,
let's get on with it.
Who'd even heard of Amazon before? Last night.
Not the tax man. I think if Amazon can't get it right, nobody can, because obviously Amazon own all of the servers.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's a situation where obviously they're very technically flush. Mm. But they made some really good ideas. Like you can turn the commentary off and just enjoy it.
Maybe turn VAR off will be the future.
I'd like a little kind of like voting system where you can just resurrect a club legend or turn all the lights off. Disco lights. I'd love a bit of that.
Tino Asprey coming on. You can't see it.
Alexa. Eric Cantona.
Alexa, put Tino Asprey on. Be great. Yeah. I liked it because one of the things that is a bit frustrating about football, even when you pay for it at the moment, is so I don't have Sky at home. I have Virgin. So if I want to watch Sky Sports in my room where I don't have a Virgin box, I have to do that through the Virgin sort of portal on my laptop, which doesn't allow a Chromecast. So it's like
you're really isolating the non-British listeners here.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is that actually the traditional broadcasters have done a lot of things to protect football and keep it behind various walls.
And
absolutely,
all about
gatekeeping and protecting their IP. Obviously, Amazon have bought everything carte blanche, so they've got the capacity sort of switch and create something new. Uh-huh. And a lot of these traditional organisations are going to be looking at that and going, that's kind of how we have to make it easier. Does BT have a PlayStation app yet?
Because I
had a real problem kind of watching BT at times.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Let's go back.
I'll tell you what, we'll hit an ad break and it'll be BT and Sky.
For the
we'll
last
be mugging ourselves off.
Indeed, yeah. But
we shouldn't, Marcus, I'm not going to move
no,
on.
No, sure.
But we shouldn't sort of underestimate this is how it's going to look in the future. Yeah. And it's not about, we talk about isolating the people who might be watching, listening to the Football Ramble or Football Ramble Daily in like American places like that. They've already got this system. They can watch whatever they want at 3 p.m. This is exactly how it's going to pan out in the Premier League. And bedamned the old people who have to travel all that way to watch matches at 6 p.m.
Do they
7
have
p.m.,
Champion and Koisty though?
Mm. No, they don't.
Well, they probably do actually.
They were running out of people to put in in the commentary box.
They signed up something like 73 pundits and commentators in total, haven't they? It's a lot. But you wonder if the future would actually be the Premier League having their own platform.
Yeah, I think
don't give them that idea.
But anyway,
crying out.
Everton were battered. Let's not forget to put the boot back into them. What a horrible season it must be. Like, I would be very surprised if there isn't a decision made on Silva quickly. There's talk of David Moyes lurking. To try and reanimate
that. He does look like a lurker, doesn't he?
He does.
If David Moyes came out of a bin, you'd be like, oh yeah, he lives there.
Oh, I don't know.
That's
disrespectful.
All right, a Burton's. Then does that better for you? The image,
yeah. Either works for me.
Well, it's certainly better.
Out of a Burton's and into a bin. That's...
I think Moyes is all right.
Out of a water slide. Oh,
I like
him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to have a go at him.
You were going to say to
but
me...
But he doesn't look like he lives in a bin.
I disagree.
I think with Watford and Everton, though, you know, you talk about having short, you know,
get Silver back at where Watford,
just having really short managers, just to kind of like firefighters. Like, what does a short run manager look like in Watford's case? Like,
yeah,
I think
2 months, 1 month.
I think they should get Marcus Silver back.
Have you seen what he's just done?
Yeah, but he's actually decent at Watford. Remember?
Yeah,
and they'll forget that. They will forget that.
Yeah. I mean, they had Kike Sanchez Flores back up, didn't they?
He might have switched off at the end of the Everton Liverpool match to watch another match on Amazon. So
they've got the option, yeah. Haven't they?
Might have missed
they
it
have
completely.
The option, yeah. But it was great stuff from Liverpool, of course. Shaqiri with a lovely... I mean, it was so many just lovely goals, as you say. I mean, that Origi second one, the touch and finish. The ball's over the top, though, from Everton. I mean, I'm looking at Michael Keane and I'm thinking, come on.
Like, yeah.
Yerry Mina as well. These are quite sort of seasoned centre halves.
You can see that Klopp has identified that as a problem as well, can't you? Yeah. Because it was a
the diagonals clear. Liverpool played all night.
Yeah,
that goal. Do you know what? I forget which one now. It might have been Shaqiri's goal when Trent Alexander-Arnold plays that beautiful pass right across to Mane, and he sort of jinks away and then sets it in. But those diagonal balls from Liverpool. This Liverpool side are so bloody good.
Yeah.
We know they're not sort of a possession-based side like Manchester City, but they can counter like no one else in the league. They can bulldozer teams if they want to. They can be crafty, but they can play intricate passes. But yeah, the diagonals and the long ball, they're so dynamic.
Mm.
They can play so many different ways. It is absolutely phenomenal. And poor old Everton on the receiving end. I mean, they did at times get themselves back into it. Keane himself scored, of course. But there was a few. I mean, it could have been interesting if Moise Kean had scored when he had that chance. And Dominic Calvert-Lewin had a little chance, but
Richarlison's header was very good, wasn't it? But
yeah,
forced that one.
But I feel though, ultimately with Everton, it would have flattered them had they have got back to 2-2 or 4-3.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, Mane missed a couple of chances.
He did.
I think that one in the second half, a lot of people said, "Oh, he should have done a lot better there." When Gini Wijnaldum was very, very close to him, I think Wijnaldum's presence was probably enough to mean he had to take an extra second to right himself or something. And I think that's maybe a little bit harsh for people to. Sort of criticise him too much for that. But yeah, I think just the problem is Everton have got to be stopping some of those goals. Yes, both Origi goals were great, but they are, as you say, they are from sort of diagonals or balls over the top. Like,
well, the one over the top is indefensible in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's just a high line not being able to get back far quickly enough. And it was poor, I thought.
Yeah.
And the keeper possibly could have been positioned a little better, but
yeah, well,
it was very quick.
It was, but even the one where Trent Alexander-Arnold broke from the corner and he charges down the left wing, you know, Everton not getting themselves back, and I understand that they want to, you know, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, but Everton, they've lost 9 out of 15 in the Prem this season and are now 18th. Obviously, Silver's on the brink there at the time. At the time of recording, he's still in the job, as we say. But one newspaper suggested that Silver's already said goodbye to the players.
It looked quite goodbye on the touchline, didn't it?
Yeah. I felt he looked crestfallen, didn't he?
Yeah, his post-match interview as well, he just sounded... like he didn't want to be there. Like he just had, but he had something else to get on with, which was probably saying goodbye to the players, you would think. But I think as well, the thing for Everton that is positive though is a lot has been made of the fact that they're sat in the relegation zone now. But you know, they're only 2 points behind Bournemouth, and they're in 12th. So it's like it is. You know, it's a tight season, and it's.
I've said this, anything below fourth is a bit of a much of a muchness. You can get away with not really performing that much.
No, that's right. Well, of course, Everton play Chelsea. In Liverpool on the weekend. Chelsea beat Villa 2-1. John Terry back at the bridge.
Yes. If Twitter was to be believed, he was the manager of Aston Villa.
Yeah, he was the man of the match.
The match.
Got a good reception, as you'd expect, from the home faithful. But of course, they're not going to let John out of the place that easily because they won 2-1. Tammy Abraham among the goals. Do you know what Tammy Abraham's little brother's called?
I do not.
Timmy Abraham.
Love that.
Plays for Fulham's Academy.
Is there a Tommy as well?
I hope so.
It's like Gary Lineker's dad called Barry Lineker.
Is that right?
Enjoyable.
Just enjoyable.
When I was at university in the second year, that three older gentlemen joined the class and they didn't know each other.
Right.
But they were called Teddy, Terry and Jerry. And they just made each other absurd.
That's quite nice.
Love it.
Timmy and Tammy, it reminds me of those Biscuits Australia.
Tim Tams.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes, Abraham, 11 goals in 14 league matches, which is impressive. He's just straight back in there among the goals.
Yeah. And we've compared him to Harry Kane before, but he seems like he has had that season, hasn't he? Where actually he's found his feet at the top level, and he's just comfortable and hungry as well. He's really He's just so positive, yeah. Tammy Abraham.
Do you remember when people kept saying Harry Kane was a one-season wonder?
Yeah.
Even like by the third season, people going, yeah, but...
I just think
know, maybe they'll be right 10 times in a row, Marcus.
Yeah, exactly. The 11th season, he maybe only scores like 11 goals.
You could make a bizarre world team of players who just get on in the last 10 minutes. That just give them games and they'll be in the position to score. Yes. They can't score when they're not playing.
Exactly. Well, Tammy Abraham, yeah. Did he assist Mason Mount with that delightful finish?
I believe he did.
He might well have done.
Oh, what? Yeah, because they said, didn't they, after the game that Mount had said that, you know, he sort of, I forget what his exact wording, he said he fancied it today maybe, and he said, look, if you've got your back to goal, look for me, I'm feeling it.
I'm going to smash one in.
Yeah, and he did.
He certainly did, yeah. Well, only Jamie Vardy's been involved in more goals in the Premier League this season than Tammy Abraham. Just so impressive. It's so nice. Mm. I know we've said it before, we'll bloody well say it again. So nice to see a player who scored a lot of goals in the Championship given the chance at a big club. And especially, and it's nice as well because, you know, we're English and he gets to the England squad, so it's just that extra little something as well.
Also, I think, you know, it's tempting to say that had Chelsea not had their transfer ban, he probably wouldn't have got that chance.
Of course, Jim, of course. But I think Mason Mount as well.
Yeah, but I think he would have got a chance. I think Chelsea would have signed a striker. But it's just so fantastic that he's taken it with both hands, both feet and his head.
Yeah. But for those two to be on the score sheet to beat Villa, and Lampard said that it probably should have been more, even Dean Smith in the dugout of Aston Villa was just like, yeah, we were second best tonight, you know. And Lampard said that was much more like it. You know, they had 60-something percent possession. It seemed, I think you hope for Lampard's sake that it would just be a blip against West Ham and they'll be back at it. And I'll tell you something, Everton won't look forward to Chelsea turning up. Certainly.
Absolutely not. I think actually maybe this is part of Marco Silva's problem, isn't it? If they've got this nightmare running. Yeah. So the owners will probably think, he'll take bullets till we get to the end of that and then
maybe
see who comes in.
Well, because, you know, briefly touching on Everton again, of course, away at Leicester, they nearly got a result and they were much more solid in defence. And I think he tried to do something like that against Liverpool and it was just picked apart. So goodness knows what they'll do for Chelsea, if indeed he's still in charge. Manchester United beat Jose Mourinho's Tottenham Hotspur at Old Trafford. I was
really
surprised.
I really expected Spurs to get something.
I did. I thought Spurs were going to win. Mm. And I thought we might see Jose giving it the, you know, finger to the lips, be quiet to the home crowd. And I thought we were going to get a bit of that. But it didn't happen, of course. It was a great win for Solskjaer, Marcus Rashford with the goals. But Mourinho said, we didn't lose because of an attacking setup. We lost because we approached the game in an emotional way. And Dele Alli mentioned about the approach they took. Perhaps Spurs were a little bit arrogant or words to that effect. And it's interesting. I mean, I know Mourinho is a very confident / arrogant man at times and believes very much in what he's doing. But he's only been there a few games. The Spurs players already go, get a load of us. I mean, I was surprised, very surprised, going to his old ground. And he said he was trying to say to the players, look, at Old Trafford, against the bigger sides, Manchester United will come out all guns blazing because at the moment they're not getting results against the smaller teams. Mm. He said, look at some of the other results. They're the only side, I think, to take points off Liverpool this season in the league. If I think that's right still. They beat Chelsea 4-0. You know, they can produce the odd performance at home against some of the bigger sides. And they were straight out the traps. And of course, Rashford scored early on. And they dominated that first half. And Dele Alli with a beautiful touch and finish.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, Spurs didn't really offer much.
No, it's right. Man United looked absolutely transformed, didn't they?
Fred looked good.
Yeah.
Fred's turning into a footballer.
I just think maybe
he's evolving like Charizard.
Don't get into this again.
I'll tell you why.
Sorry,
that.
Mate.
I think that maybe Solskjaer just put a picture of Mourinho up on the wall and said, right.
Remember this?
Yeah.
Remember this?
He's coming. All right.
Well, Jose kind of singled out McTominay. He's like, he can't help himself, can he? Yeah. He loves it. He fucking loves it.
I really feel for Scott McTominay because genuinely, he's having a really good season.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But he seems to be this benchmark of mediocrity, which is really unfair on him. People are going, oh, bloody hell, Scott McTominay's been our best player. What does that say about us? It says that Scott McTominay's good.
Yeah, like,
give the guy a break.
Yeah. I love it. If Mourinho said in the post-match, well, of course, you know, we don't have a player like Scott McTominay when they do. I don't think he said that, but it's the kind of thing. Oh, yeah. Jose, you silly sausage.
It's coming up to a year in charge for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
It is, yeah.
So I don't know, maybe he's just really good over this sort of period. I might get pelters for this later, but I almost fancy them to get something against City. Because that performance against Spurs, rather.
They looked like a slightly transformative performance from them, so I think they could do something.
Shoot Man City away at Burnley.
Yeah, but...
A bit more like it.
I've given up on the prediction game.
Yeah.
I think
Newcastle are playing Sheffield United tonight, by the way. I think we'll be back on top.
Yes.
On top of bad performances.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. It's hard to... I think that Manchester City will beat Manchester United. But I think it'll be a good game. I fancy like a 3-2 or something, actually. Because I know what you mean with Rashford and the way he's playing.
And just the verve they had about them. They looked a bit freer and you know, it's kind of all or nothing against City, isn't it? They don't really have anything to lose by going for it. Mm. I suppose they could get battered.
I was going to say they do have something to lose. 3 points, for example. Mm. But Man City, they looked much better against Burnley, didn't they? Rodri with a beauty. Mm. Jesus looked glorious up front. That volley. I mean, the first one he scored, lovely curler. But the volley, that goal was again, vintage Guardiola's City, where a little chip into the box, the margins, and the finish was so delightful. Mm. You don't see many teams score goals like that. It's so tight and so intricate and just it is amazing. Jim.
I was going to say, this is a really good time for them to be coming into this sort of form, which is why for City as well, the performance against Man United is really important, because Liverpool have got this weird situation where they've got the Club World Cup and the League mm-hmm. Cup and like the Rumbelows Cup and the Intertoto, like all in the space of a week or whatever it is. And, you know, that is a unique pressure on them that City have got to exploit.
But with that squad, Jim.
Well, quite.
You wouldn't put it past Liverpool to win all those
well,
games.
Indeed.
Is it almost a testament to Burnley to sort of say that they lost because they didn't pack the box like a lot of teams do against Manchester City and invite the pressure?
Possibly. I think, do you know something? You know, Oily Sailor on Twitter, Duncan at Opta.
Right, okay.
He pointed out that Burnley's home form against the top six is actually pretty diabolical.
Yeah.
And he always says that there's this myth that Turf Moor is this difficult place to go. But I think in the last 3 or 4 years, they've only beaten one of the top six once at home.
Mm.
Which is an interesting stat.
Yeah.
I know Man City needed goal line technology last season to literally get them over the line. But it's not that surprising. Man City going to Burnley and winning 4-1 is all I'm saying, brothers and sisters. Mm. All right, get off me back. But Pep Guardiola said that any talk of the title is crazy.
Mm.
Crazy.
Crazy talk.
You can understand. I mean, 11 points is a lot.
It is.
You know, like we say, last season there was a sort of similar margin, but this season does feel very, very different. So all eyes on that busy period, of course, Club World Cup and so on and so forth. But it wouldn't shock me if he started to put in some of the youngsters that we have barely seen going forward, and they win them. So there we are. Anyway, speaking of winning, let's have some emails with Pete Donaldson. Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And
now Pete is reading it out. Well done. It's time for emails with me. Hello. Dave has got in touch. Hello, Dave. He's come in with some I can't believe that player X was in the same team as player Y situation.
Uh-huh. Great.
There's some beauties here. Obviously, he basically talks about the Indian Super League. Which is obviously very fertile ground for this sort of thing.
Yes.
A more wonderful collection of faded heroes, blasts from the past, Carol blasts from the past, you presume, and never was, you'll not find anywhere. I present a few examples. Jermaine Pennant was at Pune City whipping crosses in for David Trezeguet, and Nicholas Anelka found themselves in the peaceful dressing rooms of Peter Reid at Mumbai City. In 2015, Nicky Shorey, Didier Zakora, Tunchai and Roger Johnson were on the same team.
Roger Johnson,
captained by Adrian Mutu. They sacked their manager and were probably a bit alarmed when David Platt turned up as his replacement. They finished second bottom. Clearly the money has run out because Matt Kilgallen and Giles Barnes are about as good as they get these days. Keep up the good work, Dave Houghton. Enjoyable.
Nice one, Davey.
Nice one, Davey.
I would say, if I can jump in on this, I don't think I've mentioned this on the Football Ramble, but it was certainly mentioned on the Scroobius Pips episode of Fantasy Five-A-Side. I think the ultimate one I can think of that for that was that Terry Hurlock, Chris Kamara and Stan Bowles were once the midfield for Brentford.
Ah, yes.
Phenomenal.
Lot of time for that. The way that Kamara looks after himself, I'd put him in.
Oh, we'd all put him in.
Stunning, stunning body. Chris Kamara's body. Kieran Ratten has got into Hello, Kieran. Do you want another heartwarming keggy tale?
Oh, of course.
Of course. Having recently listened to a podcast featuring former Halifax, West Brom and Birmingham brick shit house Jeff Horsfield, the audience was regaled with this heartwarming and typically keggy tale. When Horsfield was being managed at by Double K at Fulham in 98, he was caught out ordering a burger and chips on room service at an away game, and as such, mugged off in front of the dressing room, told to bring £500 the following Monday as a fine. So big Jeff turns up to training that Monday with 500 big ones in his hand and gave it to everyone's favourite Doncastrian, who immediately gave it back to him and told him to buy Mrs. Horsfield, the wife, not his mum, something nice with it and bring him the receipt as proof and to wise up and not to do it again. It wasn't revealed what gift it was, but it certainly should have been an ode to the great man himself, I'd say. Oh, Keggy, what have we done to deserve you in our lives? He is helping relationships.
Yeah,
he is.
He is solving problems.
The Horsfields then got a divorce with him a couple of years later. No, I don't know if they did. I hope not.
Stop this. Okay. If you'd like to get to the show, shortfootballrambledaily.com is the way to do it.
It is, ladies and gentlemen. And now it's time for a break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Jimmy, what are you saying, bruv?
I'm saying that we've been nominated for another award.
My
what?
Goodness.
I know. What are we like? Some sort of really good film in January.
We're Green Book.
Yeah, exactly. This time around, it's from podbiblemag.com. You may be aware of the magazine, Pod Bible. They have very, very kindly nominated us for Best Sport Podcast. So if you go over to podbiblemag.com, you can vote for us in the sports section, which would be much obliged. Because we'd like some awards, wouldn't we? Be nice.
We never win
We
anything.
Built the cabinet and there's nothing to go in it.
We're the underdogs. I'm just putting old yoghurt pots in there. It's disgusting. Uh-huh. But the FSA Awards, also open for business. Give that a Google. FSF.org.uk is where you can find that. Have a Google around and get involved with the FSA Awards 2019.
Yeah, give us something back.
Give us something, but we give you so little.
Yeah.
We give you so little.
And we demand so much.
And we demand so much.
And we're demanding a bit more.
And we want more from you. We're like Jurgen Klopp. Let's have it.
Yeah, let's have it all. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we've mentioned, we did mention Aston Villa. We mentioned Leicester City as well. They're playing each other on the weekend. Is that a Midlands derby?
Yeah.
I always feel that there's a lot of derbies in the Midlands.
Yeah.
A lot of teams there, of course. Villa lost to Chelsea, as we say. They got a credible point at Old Trafford last weekend as well. I don't think we mentioned that Jack Grealish curl.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. I'm worried that we're running out of time to see Jack Grealish in an England shirt.
Right, okay.
I know we've mentioned this before.
But England have a lot of those midfielders, don't they? That's sort of central but can play a little bit out wide.
He is in imperious form, though, isn't he?
Yeah, well, Dean Smith was saying that he is being fouled left, right and centre.
Yeah.
And he felt like...
Always a good sign.
There it is, isn't it?
It's probably because he rolls his socks down.
Yeah.
I'll get him. Got a little bit of extra...
Kick his shins.
A little extra room to kick him.
Yeah, maybe. I think that... Dean Smith was talking about Chelsea almost like tag team and, you know, rotating the fouls in quite an Italian sort of way. But you're right. He's playing very well indeed. But I mean, some of the other Villa players are doing okay as well. But they can, I don't want to stick the boot in, but they can slightly flatter to deceive Aston Villa because they've got some decent players, as we say, like Grealish and Mings, and Trezeguet among the goals again. We bundled it in, but
Trezeguet's goal was amazing. Sorry to cut in on there, but he headed it into his own foot accidentally, and it went in while he was pirouetting. Brilliant.
That's a lovely one. Tom Heaton in goal, of course, making the saves. But they need results. They're hovering above the relegation zone. And I know, Pete, you're absolutely right to say that there's a lot of teams, technically, hovering above the relegation
zone. It's a mess down there.
But we're into December now.
Mm.
And it's a busy Christmas period. And you've got to start picking up points. Because if you start going into the new year and you're thinking, oh, blimey, we're in a relegation zone, that's where people can get a little bit nervy. The knees can go all trembly. And it's not good for business, of course. Villa need to... slip it into, what would it be, third, fourth gear maybe? Because they've been sort of crunching through the gears and get out of that, quite frankly.
This is a tough test, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't want Leicester turning up if you need points. I mean, Leicester beat Watford 2-0 to stay 8 points off the top. Vardy and Maddison among the goals again. Mm. Great seasons, though.
Vardy's closing down on his own consecutive scoring record, isn't he? Like, that would be the most Jamie Vardy thing. Like, who can I mug off? That myself from the title winning season. Yeah.
Well, one player who's been playing pretty damn well for Leicester this season, Harvey Barnes.
Mm.
He's been absolutely superb. Very explosive. He loves a hit, doesn't he?
He does.
They've just got to seem to have a really good squad. Like Chilwell was out, Fuchs comes in and just plays really
well.
Forget
about Fuchs, don't you?
It's just like it's a great person to sort of deputise for you.
Fuchs was the left back when they won the title. I know it's a few years ago now, but still, it's an experienced fullback to come in, and he hasn't played that much.
And he comes in and he puts in performances.
Exactly, yeah. Pereira.
So Chilwell's still a doubt for the weekend, so we don't know whether he'll play, so he might be playing another match.
Mm. And Pereira, who's playing on the right side, I mean, he's a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
He was their player of the season, I think, last season. You know, what a buy he's been.
Yeah, can I dream for a moment?
Oh, go on.
So Leicester, on this current form, should get Champions League football. You would think that's far from beyond them. You would think that,
of course.
You would hope that they would manage to do that.
Dilly ding, dilly dong.
Indeed. They have previous at managing to get quite big name players come in late on in their careers, like on a free transfer. Jamie Vardy is perhaps king of the shithouses, but with one exception, who is 33-year-old Sergio Ramos, who is out of contract at Real Madrid in the summer. Could they pull it off?
Oh my goodness.
Vardy and Sergio, imagine it.
In the same team. It would be a match made in heaven.
Wouldn't it?
It would be utterly glorious, yeah. Well, he would have to dislodge Evans and Soyuncu at the back.
He'd find a way, wouldn't he?
He would find a way, but they've been superb, those two.
They really have.
But Johnny Evans, again, who would have thought his career? I mean, played for Manchester United for many years, went to sort of West Brom and blah, 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 at Leicester. And now he's on for Champions League football next season, barring a disaster, of course. It's absolutely phenomenal. But Harvey Barnes, again, one of those exciting English midfielders who looks like he's got good technical ability, he's got a keen eye for goal, and he's got the energy and so on. It's exciting times. Mm. But Leicester, they've won 7 on the spin in the top flight, which equals their record set in 1963. It's a phenomenal season they're having so far, ladies and gentlemen.
Well done, Brendy.
Well done, Brendy, indeed. Brendy would... He'd be mad to go to Arsenal. Those rumours won't go away.
Yeah, no. Now he would. You know what I mean?
Even if he was offered a big contract and said, right, you can spend like $100 million or a couple of $100 million or
that's
something.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, okay.
But
how much did they spend on Nicolas Pepe?
Well, actually, that's been staggered. So you remember the reports that Arsenal had $45 million to spend in the summer. They actually pretty much spent that. If the net was that. Mm-hmm. I know people going, net spend. But it has to be done quite carefully.
It's a lot for a squad player, is what I'm saying.
Indeed. A lot for Jovinho.
Watford are in big, big trouble. Only 8 points from 15 matches. Already 7 points from safety. Hayden Mullins was in charge for the game at Leicester. I mean, they put up a little bit more of a fight, but still they lose the game 2-0. And it was a difficult place to go. They've got Crystal Palace at home. And with Southampton getting wins together now. It was the first back-to-back win that they got since March. Southampton, they've climbed out the bottom three with a win against Norwich. Hasenhüttl is turning the screw there.
I think we're seeing his quality come through now.
We
aren't
are.
We? Actually, in a weird way, obviously that 9-0 was humiliating.
Mm.
But
well, we said, you can take it one of two ways, really.
And they seem to have responded in the right way.
Yeah.
That is absolute rock bottom. Let's never let such an embarrassing thing happen again. Let's not put that much fire in the belly of Luke Moore.
Indeed, yeah. So that's one way. The other way is, we really are crap, aren't we?
Yeah, quite. Yeah.
Which Watford have sort of thought since they got beat 8-0 off Man City.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, it was happening before that. But Palace, you know, a great win at home to Bournemouth, you have to say. I mean, Sacco sent off after, you know, was about 20 odd minutes or something.
Yeah, I was fascinated by it. Was it Danny Murphy on Match of the Day last night saying that he thought that was harsh? I thought, are you mad?
Yeah, I know. It was
absolutely awful challenge.
And Sacco knew, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had that sort of sheepish look. But Schlupp popped up with the only goal of the game. So bear in mind, you're down to 10 men.
Yeah.
Halfway through the first half. You've got to hand it to them. At the time of recording, Palace are seventh, but they're on the same points as Manchester United and one above Spurs. I think if you'd have offered Palace fans that at the start of the season in December, you will be in this position.
Yeah, if you didn't look at the league table, they just told them that. I'm like, yeah, that sounds brilliant.
Well, it is.
But that sounds great.
They're having a good time, and their away form has been sort of fairly decent as well. You would fancy them to go to Watford and win, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
All agreed.
Especially
in
that situation.
But Watford now, they're managerless, of course. They are just sleepwalking to relegation.
They really are. Well, it's not even sort of sleepwalking, is it? Because everyone can see what's going wrong.
True.
Everyone can see
they're walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, marching.
Yeah, they know what's happening, but they can't seem to arrest it. I guess it's, you know, it's perhaps this is too easy an assessment, and it's something that we've spoken about many times, but it's just the chopping and changing, catching up with them. Like, if you get to a point where that stops working, and you don't have much of a plan, what happens next? Because it always felt like the way that Watford made that constant churn of managers work was they actually researched the next man quite heavily. Like, you know, they, quite often the next guy improved on the last guy, and actually it seemed to make sense. But now it's sort of fallen off a cliff. Going back to Kike Sanchez-Flores seemed ill thought out. Maybe they should have just hung on to Javi Gracia, but that's not their way, is it?
Going back to Flores, that is quite an anomaly with their system changing, because it's a step backwards, or it's certainly someone they've had before, which is an interesting. We compare them to Southampton. Now, I know you can cherry pick these things, because some people, they hang on to a manager for too long, and when you've got to change, you've got to change. But with Southampton, you know, Hasenhüttl himself said after the victory, he said, you know, he wanted to thank the club and say that I'm pleased that they didn't sack me. I'm so glad that they let my, let me try and get this. Now, they're not out of trouble, of course, but they certainly have improved, in recent weeks, as we say, because he helped them to stay up last season. But you can just see a manager with that drive and with that idea. He said that they've got their identity back, and you can tell that they look a bit more dynamic going forward. They've got, you know, they've got a few good players in there. They've got a few goals scattered around the side, and they are getting performances. That is a huge difference. With Watford, you have some players who have made murmurs about wanting moves to clubs before and so on and so forth. But you look at that Watford side, you look at that squad, and you think, there's no way they should be down there.
Mm.
Absolutely no way. Well, what is going on? There is something at the core of that. Obviously, the manager situation is not good. But if you're a Watford fan, it must be so frustrating right now.
Oh, absolutely.
I think seeing Hayden Mullins in the dugout, you're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I'm strange. Confused.
Yeah. Troy Deeney being back is massive, though, isn't it? They need an injection of fire.
Well,
if just as almost like a symbol on the pitch of someone that's going to sort of drag the game by the scruff of the neck, which we know he's so good at. They've got such a fight on their hands, and it's not a squad that's used to having to fight. It's a squad that's been punching above its weight, isn't it? So this is a different mindset for them to be in, that none of them would have expected a relegation battle this season.
They're big fancy boys, but now they're in the sewer fighting.
Indeed.
Right then, Betway's Foot Score.
Here we go.
Each week on the Football Ramble, on Ramble Daily, we are going to be participating in Foot Score for a chance to win a huge prize for charity. Foot Score entry is free. All you need to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. If you're correct, you can win up to 25 grand this week. Head to betway.com/foot to score. That's /4 and then to score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. They always do, Jim. Jim, they always do. We've given you, Jim, the match Villa versus Leicester. Who have you gone for?
It sounds quite obvious, doesn't it? But you've got to go for Jamie Vardy.
You've got to go for Vardy. You just simply have to. I've got the Newcastle United Southampton match, so I'm going to go for Alisson Maximan. I'm hoping that at some point this season, a forward player is going to put one in the net.
Has he scored yet, Saint Maximan?
I don't think so. Maybe he has. I
think Southampton will win that game.
Okay.
2-0.
Well, let's. I'm a little bit shocked.
Mean?
A little bit shocked.
Little hairy meanie.
No, hairy meanie. Like the blue meanie. Norwich Sheffield United. Luke has gone for Timu Pukki. Pretty routine that. Marcus, Brighton Wolverhampton, what are you saying, bro?
Speaking of routine, Raul Jimenez, he's got to score first for us at some point.
Yeah.
He always gets a mensch at this bit.
So yes, Futterscore is free to play. The current prize is now 25k. It rolls over if no one wins it. Someone won it last week, which is very exciting.
Can be won.
Yes. Please bet the responsible way. And now it's time for Going for Gold.
It is.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, well, you to play the game. These people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold.
Oh, it's Going for Gold.
You introed yourself there.
What a theme tune. Well, I will. I'll take control. I'll take the reins. I'm Troy Deeney, mate. You're not doing it in the dugout, so I'm getting involved. All right, then. This set of clues comes from... Who have we got here? Oh, my days. It is Owen Ellicott, which is a wonderful name. Thank you, Owen, for this nomination. First clue.
Here we
straight
go.
In. I was born the 14th of May, 1985. Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds was number one in the States. Something which I feel has happened to myself. Don't you forget about me.
Okay. Where was that just a date?
That was just a date.
Okay.
Just a date.
Just a date.
1985.
What's his name?
It's Owen Ellicott. I started my career at Wimbledon, the original Wimbledon, but my last club was MK Dons.
Ooh.
Different flavours.
Somebody will get that straight away, and that somebody's not me.
Nor is it me. Stop. Alan Smith.
No!
I just wanted to say one. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Stop, I'll have Alan Smith as well.
Dirty your boots. Dirty your shorts. Dirty everything. I was also the first Englishman to captain a team at the new Wembley Stadium.
Oh.
Come on, baby.
The first Englishman to captain...
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Because I watched Wembley that. It was the England under-21s.
Baby.
Started at Wimbledon, ended at MK Dons.
Delicious.
That is delicious, isn't it?
Salivating.
You're on the precipice. Stephen Corker.
No, not Stephen Corker.
Gritty meatball.
Excluding England, I've played in three countries, but only two leagues. Interesting.
Oh, stop David Bentley.
No, not Benters.
I just remember he scored that game.
My man crush for David Bentley is increasing by the week. I think he's very handsome. He's getting more handsome as he gets older.
All right.
All right.
Where are you seeing David Bentley?
The soccer aim shootout things.
Oh, is that
right? I love those things. Oh, okay. They're so much fun. They're a real guilty pleasure for me. You got to hit the bar. You got to do a free kick.
Yeah.
Stop. John Bostock.
No, not John Bostock.
It's going to be him one day.
I was signed for Portsmouth by Harry Redknapp, but financial problems led to the deal collapsing.
So he's in England under 21.
Nearly played for Harry Redknapp.
So
I mean,
34.
I'm going to throw in a clue from my particular perspective. He's got a middle name that excites me.
Well, that doesn't
help. That could be anything. Mm-hmm. You don't have a middle name, so they all excite me.
They all excite me, yeah. My trophy collection is fairly small. It only includes a 2004-05 Championship Playoff Winners Medal. However, my FA Cup and CONCACAF Champions League Runner-Up Medal does keep it company.
Hey, the FA Cup and CONCACAF?
Yes.
CONCACAF, so he's playing...
Stop. Trezor...
Runner-Up Medals, by the way.
Yeah.
No, not...
No, because he was... It wouldn't be CONCACAF if it was Loire Loire. Mm. CONCACAF is...
You've got to go there, Marcus. Don't waste it.
Central America.
Yeah.
I've got nothing at the moment. Was that the last clue?
What?
Was that the last clue? Ooh. Better not have been, mate, otherwise I'll have you.
No, it's not.
Good.
God, I thought I had it, but it was someone who played for Portsmouth. Someone who specifically didn't play for Portsmouth. He's such a spanner in the works.
Ah, where's Luke Moore when you need him?
When I signed for Ipswich, I described them as a sleeping giant and that finally everything had fallen into place with both myself and the club. I would make 12 appearances for that club.
Stop. Jermaine Genus?
No, not Jermaine Genus. No.
Genus would be fooling that. Why would he have been for CONCACAF?
Well, you have a go then.
I played for, this is the last clue. I played for Aston Villa for four seasons, including playing in the Europa League in two of those, making 102 Premier League appearances, scoring one goal.
This is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous.
I'm angry. He's 34. Did you say he's finished? His last club was MK Dons.
He's 35 years old.
Did you say he's MK?
MK Dons was his last club, I believe. Yeah.
I didn't say he was finished. I just said it was his last club.
Oh, this is so annoying because I know this will be one of those players. We know who this guy is.
Yeah.
The clues have been quite generous, to be fair. We have disgraced ourselves, Jim Campbell. And you're meant to be good at this.
And so, well, you won it last season.
There's only two people in the room, so I'm going to finish this up. It's Nigel, Schorler, Andre, Rio Coca. Bang!
God, couldn't you have said West Ham? I'd have got that.
Well, that's the point.
That's not how it works. Bloody imbecile. Owen Ellicott, thank you for that.
Listeners, you have stepped up this season. It's really impressive.
I like it.
We should have got that one.
I like it a lot.
I'm sorry, everybody, but I'm not really.
Let's get out of here.
Because it doesn't matter at all, of course. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Myself and Jonathan Wilson are back tomorrow for Greatest Games, for another game from the past, which will certainly make your ears go, ooh, well, that was nice. Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
And I hope that was nice listening for you listeners. We'll see you soon.
Ooh, lovely.
This was a Stakhanov production.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.